Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Thursday, September 27th at 3 p.m. in 2018 for the PSS call, and I just turned the recorder on again, and this time I'm hoping it's working. Welcome, everybody. Today is the beginning of a new curriculum. We're going to start the workbook over from the beginning. We start by taking AIM, which is sort of the core of everything we do. For those of you who are new, welcome to a fabulous adventure. And for those of you who are listening and have been through this a little bit before, I invite you to learn old concepts with a new lens and really begin to see how that you want to apply these concepts to where you are now rather than where you were when you first were introduced to them. So welcome, and for those of you on the call, let's start by celebrating. Who wants to start with a check-in or a celebration?
This is Julie, and I'll celebrate that last night at my local CHAD meeting, one of the people in the meeting shared the titles of several books that had been kind of instrumental in his self-discovery and, I guess, personal, emotional growth. And so I'm kind of excited to look into these books, and it's like, the standard of How to Win Friends and Influence People, that was one, but there was one called When Panic Attacks, and so I'm pretty interested to read that as it relates to myself and also my daughter, and so that's the celebration. I guess it's just new information that I'm excited to gather up.
Great. Awesome. I think I could have used that one this morning. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Great. Mark, what about you? Mark or Kara?
Oh. Go ahead, Kara.
Okay. You made me think of something. Yesterday, this is kind of a strange celebration, but I got a call from Declan's principal. And I was kind of like, oh, when I get that call, oh, okay. But what it was really interesting. So that was yesterday, Wednesday. On Tuesday at the after-school program, they had told me that he cussed. And he got written up, and the principal had to sign off on that. So that happened Tuesday afternoon, and I had known about that. And they talked to the principal about that, and the principal talked to Declan about it the day before. But the principal called me saying, well, do you think he can help it? He said, because I told, and then he said, I have some personal experience with Tourette syndrome. And he gave me some specific information. But what we ended up saying, he goes, well, the words he said, and then he ended up giving me more information. He said, when I was younger, I had that problem. And he just gave me a little bit of information. So it's not really a celebration because, Declan having Tourette's on top of everything else wouldn't necessarily be a celebration, but understanding what's going on would be. And even, and I don't know if that's it, but on top of it all, because the exact words that Declan uses were the three words that he would use, which was interesting. But what I really liked was that he made that call. Like, he was looking at Declan, and the principal. And he said, I just noticed the twitches in his body and the way he was moving. He goes, it reminded me of what I had gone through. And have you looked into that? You might want to. He goes, because we can't. I know. Oh, he tried some public school in Los Angeles. And he's a new principal. This is his second year, but I really like him. But he was saying, well, because I told the coach at the after school program, we can't punish him if he can't help it. If this is something he can't help, we can't punish him for it. So I thought that was interesting. And then it's kind of funny because the same day, because Declan, and I haven't been taking AIM on the cussing because there's other things that I'm dealing with, but it's bothering me. And I've been thinking it's been becoming a bad habit. So I did try a little something, and I told him, hey, because he wants money for Fortnite. I said, well, I'll give you $5 if you go all day without cussing because it's that bad. he's getting a habit. And he said, and he could, this was like a week and a half ago, and he hasn't been able to do it. And I told him, I'm like, well, it's going to be hard. You need to work, try some other words, see if other words work for you. And he did it. And yesterday he did it. So it was his first day, but it was funny because I got the call, and so I don't know if that's it, but I just really liked that the principal made that call. It made me feel.
That's amazing. The other thing I might offer, Kara, with him is to just ask him, does he know that, like, get a little curious with him and understand what's going on with him. Ask him if he realizes he's doing it. I mean, you don't need to tell him I think you might have Tourette's, but to, you know, just get a sense of, you know, not just asking him to do it, but getting him to get curious about what's going on. You know, has he been trying? Has he been forgetting? Does, you know, just collect a little.
Well, you know, I have, it's hard, that's a hard one with Declan because he, he's pretty closed off. He just goes,
well, just get curious.
You made me mad.
That's all I'm offering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and see where it goes. Cool. And Mark, anything you want to celebrate?
Yeah, I got Parker last night to stop crying and sit down and get started on her narrative essay. And so at my job, I'm at work all day by myself, which I love. And I put my earbuds in and I listen to my podcasts all day. And I've been listening to Dr. Jordan Peterson, who I like the way he talks and he's easy to listen to. And I like what he has to say. And he told the story of the boy and the dragon. I don't know if you're familiar with that story or not, but it's basically a boy wakes up and there's a little dragon in his room. And throughout the day, the dragon gets bigger and bigger, but his mom keeps telling him there's no such thing as dragons. And, you know, all these things happen and the dragon's in the way and it's like she can't do things and he can't do things because there's this dragon that keeps getting bigger and bigger. And in a nutshell, at the end, after the dragon brings their house back to where it was, she says, oh, now I see the dragon. And so then the dragon became small again. And the little boy said, yeah, I think it just wanted some attention. And so I told her that your essay is a dragon, and the more you ignore it, the bigger it gets. So you need to pay attention to it so it stays small. And we do a little bit at a time so it stays small. So we did a few pages, and I basically told her what to write, and she had to type it just to get her going. And left, you know, the creative writing process, and, you know, just put stuff on paper. And
right.
So anyways, we got through a good portion of it, and she was happy, and there was no more crying, and she felt good this morning. And so
awesome.
I think it
parents
it ties
to success.
Into, yeah, it was a good deal.
Well done.
I enjoyed
really
it.
Good. I love the story. Well done.
Yeah.
Can I offer a suggestion for future reference as you're playing with this issue to
sure.
get into what's really going on? Is next time you type and let her tell you what to type.
And that's something I need to work on in my head because it's hard for me to listen to her tell a story and I'm just like, oh no, that's not going to work. And then I want to tell the story.
So
you know,
this is your self-management.
Yeah, I understand. yeah. And I understand. I try, you know, it's like, okay, how do you want to continue the story? And then she'll go off on some tangent and I'm like, no, that's not where the story's going. But it's her story, and I need to know that.
Right,
you know.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, that's a great awareness. And the extent to which – so if you can take the motor coordination piece of it out of typing so that she's still doing the creative work,
right,
which is the thinking and the ideating, that's really what they're trying to get her to do with a narrative essay. The writing itself or typing or whatever is just technical, and that's
right.
the piece that can make it really, really hard.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, the other problem with Parker is that she's very, she's a perfectionist, and she is really concerned about what other people think of what she does, and so, it, you know, being her hero father who wants to protect her from any negativity, you know, it's like here, you know, do this work, make this story. And then I go, wait, no, the kids are just going to laugh at you. I don't tell her that, but I'm telling myself they're going to laugh at her. Let's fix this. And then pretty soon I'm writing the story for her. And
right, which is doing what
to
her perfectionism. Well, and
what's
how
that?
It's addressing her. And what's it doing for the perfectionism?
Right. Yeah, I hear you. And that's
right.
What I'm saying. I need to, you know, put myself in check and not do that, not try to save her all the time.
Good lessons.
Yep.
Okay, so what do we want to take aim on this week?
I want to take aim. This is Julie. I know exactly where I want to take aim, and it's Parker getting started with her homework. There's all this drama and tears and upset about there's so much to do, that she won't even start. And so that's where I need to figure out how to get her from, oh my gosh, there's so much, to actually just starting and writing that first word.
Brilliant. Right. And it sounds like she may have what a lot of kids at that age have, which I call blank page paralysis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
If the struggle is with the struggle is particularly when the assignment is, I've got to start from nothing. Right.
Yeah.
It's a different activation than starting to do math homework where there's something on the page. So that's a play. We'll come back to it. But As you take aim more, you'll narrow in on what's really happening. You know, is it
right.
Activation on all homework, or is this a creative process blank page paralysis piece, which is a different solution?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. All right. Mark or Kara, where do y'all want to be?
Same thing.
Okay. You may do that. And Kara?
Well, I've been, and I will continue to take aim on, I'm trying to, I've been taking aim on Declan's screen time and how to manage the frustration around it when he has to get off, transitioning off the screen, specifically with Fortnite, and that's going to come up because he doesn't normally get to play during the week, and today, the next the next season of Fortnite comes out, so I told him he could play, and he didn't sleep well last night either, so I'm like so I'm taking aim on today specifically setting us up for success with him playing the game and having an agreement to how long he'll play and a plan for transitioning off and when his brother will have his turn to play and what will happen if we can't keep that agreement. So it's just to have that conversation when he gets home from school, when he's anticipating playing, is going to be tricky because I would have liked to have had it before now. It's really hard for me. Well, and we talked about this to have a conversation with him. It's hard to get his attention, especially when he's so focused on what he wants. His frustration management has been so low lately. Mm-hmm. My big picture is taking aim on frustration management. The more specific view is related to transitioning off of the video game.
Great. And what I'm hearing is really, really you want to set him up for success in transitioning off the video game tonight.
Yeah.
Very specifically. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so all of this is a great lead-in to today's topic, which is taking aim. Dun-dun. And the thing about taking aim, so all of you have been doing this for a while, so those of you who are on the call now, I've had some experience with taking aim, and at the beginning of every call, we hone in on where you start and where you end up taking aim. And sometimes at the end of a call, we may even come to the realization that we need to take aim on something else, right? But I want to pull back and talk about the concept for a minute. Because when we take aim, sort of what you just said, Kara, we can sometimes take aim on a big picture and sometimes on a very specific narrow area, and often we have both going on at the same time. And the key to taking aim is getting really clear on what's the change you want to see, whether it's a behavior change or a environmental change. What's the change that you want to see? And very often, you know, when people first start with this program, they tend to take aim on the solution. I want them to use a planner. I want them to use a timer. I want, you know, whatever the, I want them to use an alarm. And what we want to shift the focus to is to take aim on the change or the goal or the change that you want to see, and then let that guide us to the to figuring out what will get us there instead of starting with the end. So it's a different way of starting with the end in mind, if you will. It's still doing that, but it's not the end is not the tactical or solution. The end is the vision or the change. And I try not to use the word goal because even that sounds a little too concrete. So great examples that Julie, you're saying, I want to take aim on helping her get started on homework. And so as we talk about narrowing in on taking aim, so there's this big picture of getting started on things and transition. And then there's this next layer of homework, getting started on homework. And then what I was suggesting is there may be a next layer of, is it all homework that she has trouble getting started on, or is it getting started on writing assignments or getting started on math assignments? And so the more specific we get, the easier it is to figure out what's really going on, to walk through the process using the model, and to come up with a solution or solutions or processes to address that problem. And the more likely you are to have success addressing that problem, and those successes will breed more successes, right? So the idea is we have this tendency to want to change everything at once, right? We have 10 batons that we want our kids to take hold of, and if we throw them all at once, they will drop them all on the ground. But if we hand them one at a time and we make sure they've got it, and then we don't let go till we feel confident they've got it and they say, yeah, I've got it, then they're going to really have that baton and be open and willing to take the next one. So taking aim is really about setting them up for success both in the short term and the long term, learning how to manage it in the short term to deal with whatever the issue is, but also in the long term, taking aim helps them learn to use this bigger picture, the model of learning how to self-manage or self-regulate or whatever it is they're learning how to control to manage the issues they're struggling with, whether the issues are ADHD-related or learning disability-related or just life-related. I mean, this is a model that works for everything because it's about getting really clear on what's the change I want to see and then getting curious. You know, the next thing we'll talk about is collecting information, getting curious on what's going on, and then beginning to come up with a plan or a strategy or a process to address the change, and then rinsing, repeating, trying it again, coming back around, right? So that's the model we're going to go through again and again throughout the year. But everything hinges on this initial concept of get clear on what you want to change. And, you know, you guys have all learned to do that, those of you who are live on the call now. And I love, Julie, that you came to this call today like, I know exactly what I want to take aim. Because a year ago, you were not doing that, right?
Just been focused at home, so it was like, we've got to work on this pronto.
Right. And you're clear on, you were able to narrow in on, you didn't say I'm taking aim on homework, right?
Right.
You are clear now that the issue is getting started on homework. And as I say, we can keep honing in even more. And it seems crazy. And I remember when I first started doing this work, my husband, we had this big argument about you can't take aim on one thing. There are too many things she's got to be able to do, and she's got to learn to do them all. And at first, I really struggled with how to respond to that until I began to understand that when I was asking her to do them all, she wasn't doing any of them or wasn't doing any of them well. And when I could allow her to only focus on one thing at a time, she could learn it. She could focus on it. She could process it without being overwhelmed and without shutting down. And a lot of our kids really struggle with overwhelm. And we don't realize how much we expect of them on a day-to-day basis, but it's a lot. And so when we agree to scaffold everything except for what they're really working on right now and then hold them accountable to what they're working on, they will not only feel less overwhelmed, as will we, but again, as they begin to feel successful with it, they will see the possibility of their own success, right? So I'm going to stop here and let's have a little conversation about taking aim and sort of what's coming up for you guys. Or not.
I'll start.
Are you still here?
I'll start. Yeah. Hi, it's Kara. I'll start. Just because I'm kind of in the process of doing this, and I'm a little...
Yeah.
So we're already kind of like done the rinse and repeat to some degree, because some of what I did with my work with Diane was trying to get him to practice stopping, which included like trying to get him to take breaks in between, which hasn't been very successful, and then making clear, you know, what the understanding was, and also saying, okay, because what I sometimes happens is he'll go, oh, just one more. It'll be quick. And or he'll be playing and he'll die too quick. And I'll say, no, it wasn't fair. I just need one more. It'll be quick. That's exactly like a quote from him. I hear it a lot.
Yep. We've all heard it.
Yeah, it'll be quick. And so we discussed, okay, how many one mores do you get? And then what if that last one more, you die quick? You know, to try, but so far I'm still hitting walls with it. So I'm a little, like, I'm going in to today, which he's all excited about. And one thing I'm thinking that I kind of am seeing potential as I'm going to try those two things again and try to have the conversation. It's just, I'm a little worried about being able to get his attention for long enough to complete that conversation and really get him to think about it and agree to it. I don't know how well that will go, but I'm going to try. Ideally, I would have had that conversation before now. But I was thinking about having, because another problem we've run into is that Declan will go, and then his brother's waiting for his turn, and Declan will go like an hour extra. And Kieran's sitting there going, this is not fair. So I was thinking about things they could take turns, which I'm a little worried about.
I'm going to stop you for a minute because you're moving into problem-solving mode.
Yes.
And so... before we get there, I want to just stay, if we can, a little bit longer on this concept of taking aim, right?
Right, okay.
Because what you're thinking about, okay, here's how I can fix it, and here's how I can fix it. And you're actually taking aim on something else. What are you taking aim on with that thought you just brought up?
Oh, having him take turn?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what are you trying to solve to there?
His brother getting a turn, I guess. Well, but it is a totally different issue. Well, the reason I was thinking that, though, is because it will make him have a break.
Now, I understand, but still be really clear on what you're trying to address.
Yeah.
So one is to be fair to the brother, and another is that may be a structure to help address another structure you're trying to put in place, which is breaks. Both of which are legitimate, but you always want to be clear what am I really trying to solve here or take aim on, right?
Well, I'm trying to help them transition off the video game.
Right. And so there are lots of different potentials. So that's the big picture for him is transitioning off of video games. Part of it is stopping with respect, effectively, right?
Or without breaking things.
Right. So, Julie, Mark, what's coming up for y'all in terms of this notion of just what do we know about and learning about taking aim?
Well, through these couple of years or however many years I've been doing this, I'm always amazed about how you do manage to narrow it down, because it'll seem like homework. That's a problem. Okay. But it really isn't very specific, because homework is a huge thing. And getting off the video games is a huge thing. But I always, you guys always manage to boil it down to one piece of it that is manageable and tackleable and tangible instead of just this big homework.
Right.
And so I've tried to, I don't know how well I do at it, but I sometimes find myself thinking, okay, well, what am I really worried about here? What is the really the one detail or the one piece of this that I'm really worried about?
Right.
Instead of, oh, work sucks, which it doesn't, but just, you know, because I'm not working for
exactly
what
I love that you said that, and I really, really wanted you to celebrate what you just said, because that's what this is about, is learning how to ask ourselves the questions to get really clear on what's really going on, what's really important here, what's the change I'm really looking for, and not to get seduced by, we've got to get the homework done, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you were really clear at the beginning of this call, this is starting homework, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is very different from doing homework.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But a couple years ago, I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have understood how each part of it is really, especially for an ADHD kid who's having trouble with a lot of, you know, just taking in the world, you know, it really is all these little parts.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So, anything else on just sort of general conversation, or should we go do a little bit of laser coaching on these topics? Anything else y'all want to address or with each other around just what you've learned about taking aim? Or I'm curious, what's different for you, Julie, in terms of how you're doing this now when you couldn't a couple of years ago? Or weren't yet. I don't want to say couldn't.
Well, I think just being around these ideas, being around it, and the exposure to it of you, like kind of boiling things down instead of this just big, what looks from the outside like a big mess. Okay, well, there is a starting point in there somewhere, so let's figure out where that is. It's hard to see sometimes
when
you're in it.
The starting point is not the starting point of the solution. It's actually this is brilliant what you just said. It's the starting point of the problem.
Right.
Like where's the nugget that takes what's normal, sort of typical behavior, and all of a sudden now we've got a problem with it or a challenge with it.
Right.
That's where we look to take aim, is at the starting point of the problem.
Yeah, so where's the wrinkle? There's like a wrinkle in there somewhere.
Say it again.
Yeah, there's just a wrinkle in there somewhere, and you've got to find where that wrinkle is. Sometimes it's a needle in a haystack, but there's something there that if you focus on that, then you're going to be able to figure out the solutions and the right questions to ask. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was just, the example that was coming up for me was sometimes we resolve issues around morning by looking at what's happening the night before, right? Because the problem actually starts because a kid's not getting to bed on time or isn't able to sleep or, you know, whatever it is. So you really have to go back to where's that, the initiation of the challenging dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be hard to narrow in on. You really got to investigate and get curious. So who wants to start with a little laser coaching on taking aim and seeing how this will help us address these issues?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Was that Kara?
Yeah, it was Kara.
Okay. All right, yours is an immediate, well, you both have an immediate situation, so I think we'll probably have time to do both, okay? So what you're taking aim on initially is what? And we've sort of talked about a few different things today, so just from where you are now.
Yeah, setting Declan up for success and for successfully transitioning off the video game today.
Okay. So very, very, if you take aim more specifically, Right. So the general issue is we want to help them. We want to set them up for success. So that's about you want to plan the conversation. You already know you want to plan a conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would success? And so you want to target in on getting. It's not the starting of the video game. It's the stopping of the video game.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a particular stopping when?
Well, that's the conversation I want to have with them. I would suggest that he plays an hour. And then if, like, it would look successful to me if he played an hour and a half, even though we agreed to an hour because he had four one more times, and he played an hour and a half and got off the game without throwing things or getting angry or hitting anyone.
Mm-hmm. So that's still a little bit of a moving target, right? And I get where it's coming from. But he's highly motivated to play this game today, right?
Oh, yeah.
Highly, highly motivated. And there's some charge in it because he's highly motivated.
Yeah.
So what I think I'm hearing is that so which is the higher priority, the time or the getting off without throwing a fit?
Well, I don't want him to be on there for 3 hours. So, I mean, I guess getting off without throwing a fit is the bigger priority. It's usually where the fit usually comes in is because there's a time limitation. That's where it usually develops out of. And he doesn't respond well to that because he has to get off before he's ready.
Okay. So, so what's jumping out at me here?
What's that?
Well, what's jumping out at me here is you're taking aim on what you want his behaviors to be, right? And the other thing that I hear that you really is taking aim on setting clear expectations and accountabilities. You know, is coming to agreement on clear expectations and accountabilities.
Yeah.
Does that resonate?
Yes, absolutely.
So, because you're even getting him off the machine without screaming is still sort of, there's a lot of pieces that lead to that, and that to some extent that's within your control or not. But where does that problem start? Going back to what Julie was saying, where does the problem of his getting off in a fit start?
The problem of his getting off in a fit starts when he has to get off before he's ready.
So I'm going to pull you back. I think it starts before that. So if he doesn't have very clear expectations that he's bought into, right? And bought into is a key piece because he may be agreeing to it, but is he really bought into it?
Well, and I don't know how to get him to buy into it, though, because what he'll say later
That's
is, I should play 3 hours. Yeah.
So hold on, that's a how. And how, if we start with a how, it gets us in trouble. I don't know how is why we go through this process. But let's get clear on where you're taking aim. And the real place that you're taking aim is getting with true agreement with him around what the conditions are of his playing today. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that different from what you've been doing in the past?
The part that I stumble on, because we've had agreements in the past, so he's agreed to it, but has he bought into it? Maybe not.
Okay. So what's the difference here? It's a great distinction.
I don't know how to get to that difference. I mean, the difference would be
okay.
That
again,
would,
that's a how. Hold on, step back for a minute.
So I don't understand the question.
He is the difference. So when he's agreed to it, what's happening there?
I don't know that he ever has.
Mm-hmm.
He's
agreed to it, but you're saying you don't think he's ever bought in.
Yeah, he's agreed to it, but I don't think he's ever bought in, because when it comes time. When the expectations of what we agreed to
are not being met, then he doesn't, you know, there's no, the accountability, he backs up on the accountability. He doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Even though he agreed to it.
So when you're creating these agreements, if you can think about what's happened in the past, what part do you feel like has worked and what part hasn't worked? So let's start with what and it may be that what you're saying is you're not, you know, you may not, you think it may not have ever worked in the past, but I want to ask.
Yeah, well, not fully. I mean, because it's a really big challenge. So I don't know that it's really exactly, but so I'll say the time it's gotten the closest to what we agreed upon. And when we made the agreement, see, I don't know.
Kara, when you've made the agreement in the past, are you suggesting it and getting him to say okay? Or is he part of creating the structure?
It's been both. Like in a situation, because we've had like our meetings, our family meetings, and talked about it, and you know, wrote that down. So if he doesn't offer much though, usually, like I'll ask him, and he has brought it up, but it'll be like me asking the question. So it's not like an open-ended question. It's kind of like, okay, let's talk about video games. You know, this is, how did it go?
Yeah.
What worked? What didn't? How long do you think you should play? So he'll give me an answer. Okay, if you don't, what do you think should happen? Okay. And because we've also tried, and I'm thinking about this, we've also tried saying, okay, if you do, then you get this benefit also. So we've had that. We've had that agreement. But then
what happens? So when you get to that moment where he's in the thick and thin of it, right, have you ever asked him, how do you want me to handle it when it's time to get off and you're not ready?
Yeah, I have.
And what's he say to that?
What he says to that is, I'll get off. I will.
No, that is not an acceptable answer.
I know. And that's what I told him. I'm like, well, honey, you haven't. So what should I do? Should I take the controller from you? He's never given me an answer. He's never given me what I told him.
It may be, then that's the place that you can't get beyond that until he can be part of that piece of the solution. He may not be able to play. So part of it is, you're getting 99% of the way there, right? But he's bought into all except for the part that, at that end, when it all hell breaks loose, right?
Yeah.
Because he's still not, we're still not holding him accountable to the full picture. You're really, really you're great, right? You're doing great problem solving and conflict resolution with him. Really, really good. And so the real problem, it sounds like, is now happening when you've gone through the process, you've got a system, and now you don't know what to do and he's still not off. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I don't. And then I'm sitting there going, okay. So one thing I've done is I've let him play, and sometimes it's gone way over, going, thinking, okay, well, he's not going to play tomorrow because of this. And my follow-up has not always been successful.
Right. Well, and he does, and you haven't set that out in advance. So part of this whole conversation.
Well, I have, but then I don't stick to it. So yeah.
Well, are you saying to him at that time, if you go over, then you won't get to play the next day? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, and we have that agreement in advance too. Yeah.
Okay. So right. So there's an accountability piece for you there, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But so if where we shifted to was this is taking aim on setting really clear expectations, right?
Yeah.
The problem is happening when there's still a breakdown in clear expectation.
Okay.
Problem is happening because when it's time to actually get off and he's having a hard time doing it on his own, you don't have an agreement about what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get more frustrated too because I'm sitting there, because if I grab the controller, that can become physical. I can turn it off using the parental controls, and that's when he's broken his controllers in the past. right. and gone crazy. So it's like, and right. I'm trying to avoid that for everyone. So I'm like, well, do I just keep planning on playing? What do I do? What do I do?
Well, so this is the place to focus, is that this is the resolution. He can't play until you guys hit this, because this is the place to take aim. Is how, what are you supposed to do if he's really having a hard time getting off? And that enables you to stay in a place of compassion with him around getting off, right?
Yeah.
Because you're still, if you are not the enforcer here, if you're not coming in as the heavy, but you're still in a place where everybody's still in clear expectations and agreement with each other, then you get to be a compassionate supporter on his team and saying, I am so sorry. I know this is so hard for you to do to get off, and I really appreciate how hard it is for you. Right? But mm-hmm. what's happening is you're pushing to a point where you're getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an agreement on this piece. So where you really need to take aim, Kara, is on how what everybody agrees you're going to do if he doesn't get off when he's asked to, when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I would encourage you to get really clear on the other parameters, right? So that's like it's got one more time or two more times or three, whatever it is, but have a very clear number so that there's no question. Because if it's an hour or an hour and a half, and, well, like, if that tent keeps moving every time he jumps on it, he's going to keep jumping on it.
Right.
So you need really clear agreements with each other so that you aren't an enforcer. You're on his team compassionately helping him follow the agreement everybody agreed to instead of forcing it on him.
Yeah.
That resonate?
It does. And one thing, because, I mean, what we have come up with is that he'll lose. Well, let me ask this. There's one question I have, because we have done this, but like I said, we've done this, but my accountability hasn't been great, because the next day I'm thinking like, well, how's he going to build his muscle if he doesn't get the chance to play and quit, which is dumb. Well, it's not dumb anyway. But then, so one thing that had come up at one point is that we couldn't really agree, because he's like, well, if I don't get off in time, I lose 10 minutes the next day. And I was like, that doesn't seem like a very good motivator, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I may have a challenge. How would you recommend dealing with that? Like, I mean, coming to an agreement.
But he can't start playing until you have an agreement.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, is you do not let him start playing. And that's until everybody's clear on what the ground rules are. You don't play a game if you don't have the ground rules. You don't play a game if the ref's not ready, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what I'm a little nervous about today, because I'm planning on getting clear. And this is helpful because it'll help me.
If it means not getting out of the car, don't get out of the car. Right? If it means don't go home first. But you cannot start without addressing this, because this is where your problem is starting.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pause for a minute, because I want to turn to Julia, Mark, and I want you to just sort of process what we've talked about, and then we'll come back and do your sort of takeaway questions in a minute. Is that cool?
Yep.
Oh, Kara, is that cool?
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sorry, I lost you. So Julia, Mark, Let's sort of look to where you're dealing with your daughter starting homework, right? Getting started on homework is what you said.
Yep.
And the first question I asked was, is this a problem with all of her homework or just some homework?
All of it. Unless it's yoga.
What? Unless it's yoga?
Unless it's yoga. She has a yoga class. She'll do physical work. She doesn't want to do mental work.
Okay, so is it mental or, like, so that's my next question. Is it any kind of mental gymnastics? Like, if you put a worksheet, a math worksheet on in front of her where it's just doing, you know, doing problems, is that going to be just as problematic as you have to write a sentence?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe slightly less so, but yes.
Okay. So we take aim, so we're going to stay with, for the moment, taking aim on getting started on homework, period, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's get curious for a minute. What would you say is her sort of engagement and buy-in to homework? And remind people how old she is.
She's 12. Seventh grade.
Okay. So what's her, like, is the homework, does she know she's got to do homework? Is she waiting for you to tell her to do homework? Like, what's that dynamic like?
She knows she has to do it. And she,
well, I know she knows she has to.
She doesn't volunteer to initiate it. It's always me asking, do you have any homework? Or, you know, have you started on this assignment? Or an email comes home from the teacher and then I bring it up. It's not her saying, gosh, Mom, I've got all this homework to do.
Right. Okay. So there's still this place where it's kind of, you're still in, do you remember the four phases of parenting?
Remember.
Okay. Phase one is directing. Phase two is modeling. Phase three is transferring ownership. And phase four is cheerleading effectively. So
yeah.
So you're still very much in phase, sort of moving from trying to move from phase one to phase two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phase one is when you're directing and creating the motivation. You're going to do your homework now, and then we're going to play a game, right?
Yeah.
Phase two is more about, like what you're saying, when what homework do you have? When do you want to do it? What are you going to do to motivate yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what's jumping out at me is you're sort of almost in phase two with her, but not quite, because it's still, you're still directing.
Yeah.
So if she were more self-directed in it, what would that look like? Or what could that look like?
She would get her work out and she'd do it.
No, that's her having full ownership, and that's way later down the road. And I don't mean to be dismissive of you, Mark, by any stretch, but there's a long way between I'm telling you when to start your work and coming home and saying, I've got this work and this work, I'm on it, right? So that in-between phase is what we want her to begin to own. So, like, for example, Julie, if you're saying, what do you have today? What's your homework? When is the expectation that she will do her homework? Is there a clear expectation?
No.
There's
okay. Not.
Do you have a particular time where she does or doesn't need to do it? Most of the time?
Well, they're supposed to do it when they get home from school.
Why?
So they can relax later.
So get curious for a minute. You just said a little while ago she doesn't want to do any brain work. She's been sitting in class all day being talked at.
Yep.
What do you think she needs at the end of the day?
More brain work.
You lied.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, she needs to Go ahead.
There's a problem with that because that's the excuse. That's the, I'm tired right now, I don't want to do it. Okay, we'll do it later. Later comes, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to do it. No, you had your break, now you're going to, it's like they want credit without paying the bill.
Right, I get it. They also,
you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, but there, it's also, part of it is, that I don't want to do it right now is not pre-negotiated. So this is very much like what we were talking about with Kara.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is about having the conversation about how we're gonna deal with this. So, for example, and I'll sort of step into modeling for a minute, right? You might say, so I got, you know, an email from the teacher. I know you've got this and this and this tonight. Do you have anything else you know you've got to get done? When do you want to do your homework? Or you might have a general conversation that's not after school one day, that you might have over the weekend about When do you like to do your homework? What do you feel helps you get set up for success with your homework? Do you need a snack? Do you need a break? Do you need to run around the cul-de-sac? Do you, like, you know, helping her begin to see what helps her be successful with it so that she can begin to take some ownership of it. And it's not you saying, okay, now you have to do it, but it's coming to an agreement where it's like, okay, on Tuesdays and Thursdays when you have this after school, why don't you, you know, she's the one saying, I'm going to start my homework at 6:30. And then when it's 6:30, everybody says, okay, it's 6:30, it's time to start homework. You've already pre-agreed.
Right.
But in that moment, if you wait until 6:30, she's going to say, I'm too tired, I don't feel like doing that. But if she's part of creating a vision or a process for how it's going to look, then, again, you get to be the support. You get to be on our team, and the system is the enforcer. Well, we agreed, and so we're going to do this for a week and see how it works. And then we'll rinse and repeat over the weekend. We'll talk about it, see what worked, what didn't, and then see what we want to do, see if you want to keep it or do something else.
Yeah.
But it's about bringing her into this process of slowly taking ownership of her work instead of just directing her when to do it and how. Does that resonate?
Yes.
What's coming up, Julie? Because I hear your head nodding.
It does resonate. For us, and our kids have gone to a school where they haven't had very much homework, and so we don't have a homework routine, and we haven't had this accountability, you know, the need for this accountability regular like this. And so we do need to sit down with her and have a conversation, and the weekends are probably the best time to have that conversation because it's just less stressful. Or maybe even tonight. I don't think we have anything tonight, but let's make a plan. And she likes that. She likes having a plan and kind of being organized. So I think that would help her just to feel more comfortable with the whole thing. Because, okay, this is that time that I do this. Instead of just kind of willy-nilly.
That it be done and that it's hers to do, but she will have some more ownership in it.
Yeah.
And so where do you feel like we're taking aim? As we sort of come around to this, what are we really taking aim on? Are we really taking aim on her starting her homework?
No, it's just setting up setting it up so that, like you said, so she's owning it, having a chart or a calendar. So she takes ownership of it, basically, is what we need to do. That's what we need to take aim on. It's getting
exactly.
her to.
But this is not about getting it started. Yeah, you may still need to do some taking aim on getting started.
Yeah.
But the step before that, where the real problem is happening, is that she doesn't yet own it as hers, and so as long as it's your agenda, she can resist and push back.
Mm-hmm.
Not really her agenda yet.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So we're about at top of the hour, we're about at time, and I want to ask both of you, or all three of you, but the two different issues, to sort of look at what do you feel like you focused on? What are you taking away from this conversation? What's your aha? And potentially what commitment do you want to make? What action do you want to take? And what will you do to be successful with that action?
Julie, this is Julie. I've got to go. So it was interesting because I was so sure that it was her getting started on her homework, but really it is before that. And even as we were talking about Kara's issue, which is similar but different,
It
really is. You got to back up. You got to back up a few steps before you can get to this step. And so my commitment is to talk with Parker tonight about this and just kind of start the conversation, maybe not get into details, but just talk a little bit more about homework and make sure she knows that it's her job.
So. Well, and help her see what's important about it, you know, what's in it for her, right? She may need to come up with some motivators for herself for it to become her job.
Right. All right, I'm going to go. Thanks.
So thanks for being here. Mark,
bye-bye.
Anything else for you?
Just same. Same as that. Okay. Just, you know, I think a lot of stuff with Parker is the shyness and the concern
the
of
anxiety.
What other people think and all that, and that stops her.
Yeah.
You know,
and setting expectations
working.
Can be really powerful for kids who struggle with that. Just really
yeah.
clear expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, and we tell her, it's like, you know, if you like it, that's all that matters. You know, well, and real quickly, she's working on a project now where the teacher is allowing the other students to determine whether or not they can do the topic that they want to do. So she presented something, and the other kids were like, well, we don't like that. And she was crying, and I'm just like, what the hell is that?
You don't give
a bunch of kids the ability to dictate what you can do if it's a learning, you know. Yeah, so that's something I want to talk to the teacher about. And I told her, it's like, you know what, it's not up to them. You know, you do what you want to do. It's all about learning how to do what you're doing, not what you're doing. So, anyways.
That's amazing. Wow. Kara, what about you? What's your takeaway, your aha?
I think there's two. The one is, I think the main takeaway is to not let him play until we have a firm agreement. And while you guys are talking, I was actually writing up an agreement.
So
just like a worksheet, like, okay, what do I write here? Ask the question, what's the answer? Okay, ask the question, what's the answer? Okay, so then here's the agreement. Okay, sign on the dotted line.
Great.
So it'll give us a little structure instead of me. It'll help. Maybe it'll help me get through the questions we need to agree on before we can play. Yeah.
Great. Well, and the other thing I want to offer to you to play with in the future in some when you're doing coaching with Diane is your own sort of follow-through accountability and what's the role that's playing in this dynamic and what can you do about that?
Oh, yeah. It's on the list because I know that's a big one.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. This was good work everybody did today.
And I
really appreciate your sticking with it. It was really interesting to see in both of these scenarios that when we really got into it, what we took aim on shifted and changed, and we had to back up and get to where the real source of the problem was. So really instructive, really great way to sort of model taking aim. So what were you going to say, Mark?
Nothing. I was just agreeing with you.
Awesome. All right. Take care, everybody. Y'all have a great night.
All right.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.